Welcome back to the desert here in Scottsdale as Penn State gets ready to go to Glendale tomorrow, the University of Phoenix Stadium, to take on Washington in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Kickoff set for 4 o'clock tomorrow here in Arizona. We're on the air beginning at 2:30 with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show from Scottsdale is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. You want to stock up tonight. You've got the Cotton Bowl tonight, USC against Ohio State. Tomorrow, you've got the Fiesta Bowl at 4 o'clock. We're on the air beginning at 2:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. Then tomorrow night, at the Orange Bowl, so you're decompressing from the Fiesta Bowl. You'll have, of course, Miami taking on Wisconsin. Sunday's NFL games, final weekend of the season or the regular season. And then you have the national semifinals coming up on New Year's Day. And on New Year's Day, you've got the Rose Bowl at 5 o'clock, Oklahoma, Georgia. You've got the Sugar Bowl at 8:30, Alabama, Clemson, 3. You want to be fully stocked. You want to go to Brewers Outlet, and today's the perfect day to do it. Go on over there. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Yes, all together now. Whether it's 2017 or 2018, the Pickle Bar is indeed second to none. Plenty of free parking, well laid out store, plenty of help to get cases to the car. All right. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And again, we're mobile with the Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Bob Rondo will join us in a few moments. The legendary play-by-play voice of the Washington Radio Network calling his final game of his illustrious 37-year Washington career tomorrow. But before we get to that, we've been doing some of the play-by-play calls of the year for the Nittany Lions. This was, for them, the play of the year.
It's win it or lose it right here in the gun. Takes it. Back to pass. Blitz coming. In the end zone. Throws. Got it. Touchdown. Penn State. Juwan Johnson and the Nittany Lions at the wire win it.
An 80-yard drive against Iowa in the clutch to win it as Penn State beat Iowa. One of the true signature wins of the season, along with that Michigan win that took place in Beaver Stadium before the whiteout. And that is our play-by-play call of the year for Nittany Lion football. Well, with that, we now turn our attention to Washington. Like Penn State, 10-2 on the year, and the legendary voice of Washington football joins us now to talk about his career, as he is about to announce his final game of his career, and to talk about the current Washington team, Bob Rondo. Bob, with great respect, welcome to the show. It is really great to have you with us.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much. Looking for a nice end to it. I think it's been great how things work out, that that Washington wound up in the Fiesta Bowl playing Penn State. I go back far enough that it wasn't on this date, but pretty close to it. In 1983, when the Huskies last played the Nittany Lions, I remember that Aloha Bowl game and anxious to see a renewal in the series. It's going to be fun.
I think you worked the game with Gil Santos, didn't you?
That's exactly right. We each did a half. That was the second year of the Aloha Bowl. Washington had, curiously enough, played in the first one against Maryland and Boomer Esiason the year before. Huskies won that game, and I did half and half with Johnny Holiday that day when they played Maryland. And then, yeah, as you say, Gil Santos and I worked the game the next year when Penn State won.
Yeah, because I was the third announcer at that time in the Penn State Radio Network, and they could, of course, only send one from each team to do this. So I ended up going to Hartford to do basketball while you were sitting in the sunshine.
Not a fair trade, Steve. Not a fair trade at all.
In this season for you, as you watched it play out, what were some areas that impressed you about Washington, and what were the little things that kept it from being like last year?
Well, I think we'll go with the little things first, and little things became big things. This team had three issues this year that it did not face last year. They lost a bunch of players, and unfortunately really dynamic players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, in losing our playmaking receiver early on in Chico McClatcher, really good player, probably the most dynamic receiver on the team, Quentin Pounds, another top-level receiver, was lost later on. They lost their best running, or I should say offensive lineman, did lose a running back late when LaVon Coleman went down, but they lost their best offensive lineman in Trey Adams, a big left tackle, probably the best NFL prospect on the team, and he went down in the Arizona State game, a dreadful night all the way around. So I think the injury issues, they also lost a really dynamic young tight end in Hunter Bryant. They stayed pretty solid on the defensive side, but I think the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team, its ability to move the football, particularly in the air. The passing game took some very serious hits that they did not suffer a year ago. That's probably the biggest difference between the 2 years. I think the thing that impressed me most was how well they played defense again after losing some, as you know, really good players to the NFL out of the secondary last year. They came back and were solid defensively all year long, and that certainly has carried them, I think, to the season they had and into the Fiesta Bowl game.
I know we've talked a lot, Bob, when doing the Penn State broadcast about defense up the middle, starting up the middle and then branching out, you know, maybe a nose tackle, linebacker, a couple of safeties. Does Vita Vea really set the tone for what they want to do defensively?
Absolutely, no question about it, Steve. And it's interesting. You look at the stat sheet, and the Vita Vea hardly jumps off the page. But in no way does that tell you the kind of impact he had on this team. And it's the reason he was voted the Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12. He's double and triple team seemingly on every play, and yet is a just a factor on every play. You have to game plan for him. He facilitates so much what other guys are able to do. Vita Vea is a man-child. He's a giant guy. He is probably the best defensive lineman we've seen at Washington since Steve Emptman, and I don't I'm not capricious in making that comparison. He is that kind of guy that has that kind of impact on a football game, and you're going to see how good he is, I think, when the NFL decides to pick and choose here next spring. I think Vita Vea is going to be a lottery pick in the NFL draft. He is that good.
This is the one game that's going to feature two running backs that have played 3 years of college football, and all 3 years have each had 1,000 yards. Fans here know what they think of Saquon Barkley. Tell us about how special Myles Gaskin is.
Well, he's probably a little smaller version of Saquon Barkley. He is the same kind of body type, the stocky frame, although he doesn't weigh 230 like Mr. Barkley does, but Miles plays bigger than the buck 90 or buck 95 that he weighs. Very similar type players, very shifty, capable of breaking tackles. Miles has really distinguished himself in the passing game this year, doing a lot of nice things, receiving, and as you say, statistically really comparable. Certainly he hasn't had the Heisman Trophy type consideration that Saquon Barkley has had and certainly deserves. But Myles Gaskin need not take a back seat to anybody. This is has been one of the best running backs, one of the most durable running backs the Huskies have ever had.
Yeah, I watched the tape, and you look at him on tape, he is dynamic. Barry's son, we know, you see the speed as to what he does at wide out. You get to call all those punt returns. You've called all, is it 13?
Nine of them.
Nine. Yeah. Feels like 1,000. All four of them this year as well. When you watch him on a punt return, how does the stadium get just when he drops back to receive it? And then what does the stadium get like watching him?
Oh, it's just been crazy, Steve. And he is unique in his abilities that I've seen. I mean, it's a pretty basic science to start with. You have to be able to catch the ball, number one. And not all punt returners can do that with a whole bunch of guys bearing down on him. But he has a terrific ability to, number one, catch the ball, and then maybe more to the point, to make that first guy miss. and that's key to any good punt returner. You have to make some people miss, including the first one down, and he's just been extraordinary at doing that. And then he's had a lot of help along the way. Washington, you know, punt returns are a team deal, and it is no surprise perhaps that Chris Peterson personally coaches the return game for Washington. He takes a lot of pride in it. They spend a lot of time with it, and they get things blocked, and Dante Pettis has the speed and the elusiveness to make things happen after the catch. But this has been a system. It's not just him. But just him, he's pretty good on the receiving end. 9 punt return touchdowns, and yeah, you do hear it in the stands, both home and away. I mean, people know about him on the road, and it's a little scary when he touches the ball, for sure.
Here he comes. It's been a great year for the Pettis family. I mean, his dad, of course, was the third base coach for the Astros to win the World Series. I got to ask you about Jake Browning. Did the injuries around him have any effect on the season he had?
There can be no doubt about that. You know, again, we talked about the players that they had lost, and obviously the most dynamic players at their respective positions, and that's really tough to overcome. So he just didn't have the weaponry that he had a season ago. Certainly, again, Miles Gaskin is an awful nice guy to be handing off to, but he didn't have the receiving core of last year, and obviously John Ross was key there, the fastest guy ever at the NFL Combine. He hasn't had much of a season, a rookie year with Cincinnati after the high draft choice, but had a great year last season, and one of the chief reasons that Jake Browning was able to throw 43 touchdown passes last year, way under that this season, and again, just the dynamic nature of the passing game hasn't been there, and you know, people want to point to the injury, the shoulder problem that Jake had at the end of last season, and is that carried on into this season? I really don't think so. He's been very efficient again this season, a high completion percentage. He makes a lot of really good decisions, doesn't throw the ball to the other guys very much. I think, again, it, in terms of the offensive scheme and what the Huskies have been able to bring to the table with regard to the passing game, a little different this year from a season ago.
Bob, you and I have had the privilege of working around legendary coaches. I mean, we know about Joe Paterno and what he did. I think a guy that, in my opinion, never really received as much recognition as maybe he should have was Don James. You worked with him. The impact of one-on-one working with him, Bob, and also at the same time the kind of coach he was.
Well, I'm sure we could share similar stories in a lot of ways, Steve, with regard to Coach James and Joe Paterno and their respective impacts on their program and certainly on us. Don James was a one-of-a-kind head coach. I think quite fittingly memorialized this year with a statue out in front of Husky Stadium, a statue paid for by a lot of his former players who got the project on the way and got it accomplished, and Don getting the recognition that he so richly deserves, you know, in perpetuity. But again, the same kind of commanding presence that a Joe Paterno had, the same kind of obviously great relationship with his players that Joe Paterno had, the respect from the players has just been off the sides, and again, that's evidenced by what happened this year with the unveiling of the statue out in front of Husky Stadium. You just cannot underscore or understate the impact that these guys had on their programs, and you know, it's telling what happened to Washington after Don James left. The Huskies, stayed pretty good for a while, and then the bottom fell out. And now Chris Peterson, coming back in year 4, has taken Washington back into that kind of Don James level of impact around the country. And, you know, a lot can be ascribed to Coach John James for putting Washington on the map and Chris Peterson putting him back there.
That's what was going to be actually my next question, because Penn State has that guy in James Franklin now that has taken the Penn State model and he's brought it into the 2000s as to what he's doing in pushing Penn State forward and winning 21 games the last 2 years. Is that what you're seeing in Chris Peterson, a more modern version of, you know, in his own way, of a Don James?
That is very well put and very appropriate, and that's exactly what is going on here. Chris Peterson is way the closest thing we've seen to Don James since the Dogfather left back after the 1992 season. They do things very similarly. Their attention to detail, their organization, their respect for their athletes, not only as players but as young men, and their wishes to see them be successful after their football careers have come to a close. Very similar in that regard, and it worked for John James, and obviously it's working pretty well for Chris Peterson too.
Maryland game, Jack Hamm and I drove back, and we were listening to your game, the Apple Cup game, as we were driving back, and we were able to get your broadcast with Damon. What were the emotions sitting in that spot for a final time, or standing in that spot a final time, and has anything started, you know, in terms of how you feel about this game?
Well, it was just an amazing night. First and foremost, a really impressive performance by Washington. They have been just absolute kryptonite for Mike Leach and Washington State the past 4 years, and they put on a really nice show. I had a chance earlier in the week, Steve, to go in and do something I've never done in my career at Washington, and that was speak to the team.
Wow.
In their team meeting room, and that was an experience I will never forget, I assure you. And then the Apple Cup Day and all the university did for me and for my family, the tribute in the stands with the cards saying thanks, Bob, for me to see from the press box. You know, you're talking about coordinating 15,000-20,000 people to do that. It was unbelievable. The band spelling out my last name as they left the field. It was almost to the point of embarrassment, Steve, that you know, those kind of things would be, we showered on a radio guy. But that's been kind of my relationship with this program through the years. And, yeah, that has been a second home for me. On the shores of Lake Washington at Husky Stadium, I've seen the stadium, you know, go through several iterations and change to become the palace that it is today. And it was an amazing day, start to finish, starting with a Bob Rondo bobblehead giveaway of all things. And I suppose there can be no greater flattery to anybody in this day and age than to get a bobblehead modeled after you. So, again, it was an embarrassment of riches on that day, and just a terrific, great time for my family and for me. And now we look to have the same kind of deal down at the Fiesta Bowl. This will be a first for me. Washington has never played in a Fiesta Bowl game, so that will be extraordinary. And then the matchup itself, you couldn't ask for a whole lot better. I know both of these teams had maybe a little bit higher aspirations, yep, at the start of the season to be playing in the Final Four, and both of them were close, I think especially Penn State. But this is a dream matchup and a great one for the Huskies and their fans and everybody concerned with Washington football.
Well, in the city that's produced the great Dave Niehaus, now Dave Sims, Steve Rabel, you can stand side by side with any of them with the great, great career you've had, with great admiration for the work you've done, and best of luck with the Fiesta Bowl coming up. I can't wait to meet you face-to-face that day.
I'm going to look forward to that, Steve. We're gonna have a great time down in the desert. It should be fun, and I'll be in touch this week, all right?
Thanks, Bob. I look forward to it.
All right, my pleasure.
Bob Rondo, the legendary play-by-play voice of Washington football and basketball, 37 seasons. Yes, he did call the last Penn State-Washington game, which was the Aloha Bowl in 1983. Interesting, last week when we were taping the Blue White Tailgate show, which is airing tonight, as a matter of fact, we had to tape it last week, and we were sitting around. It was Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer. Of course, they were on the show yesterday, and Jay Paterno, and we were able to call up on the computer the Aloha Bowl, and we were kidding. Jay asking if... you know, Joe had these crazy, this crazy pair of pants on. Of course, it was 1983, and I said, any idea? He said, where those are? He says, I think they're still in the closet somewhere. Amazing. But Bob did call that game with, as he mentioned, with Gil Santos. They had to split. Bob did the first half. Gil did the second half. So they flipped who was the analyst. I was in my first season on the Penn State Football Network. I had already started on basketball and was actually into my second season to doing Penn State basketball. My first season on the Penn State Football Network was 1983. And Penn State goes out and they get an invitation to the Aloha Bowl. And I'm thinking, gee, you know, it sounds like we can do the game. wow, I might get to go to Hawaii. Well, expenses the way they are and business the way it is, each network felt that why don't we just get together and collaborate and each team send one announcer. So Gil Santos went for Penn State, Bob Rondo went for Washington, and they were the two announcers on the game. I, in turn, went to Hartford to announce basketball at the Hartford Civic Center, and the roof was leaking that night. I'm like, okay. So that was my first season on the Penn State Football Network. Jack Ham, final half hour, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK.